Sermon ADD, January 20th.
Isn't the problem, this was the problem. So, what did I say? Oh yeah, so in 1992, Prabhupada Gurudev ordered me to learn harmonium. So to do bhajans along with the harmonium. But then later on, a couple of years later, Sharanamrita. Hare Krishna, Swagatam. Charanamrita Lelitya? A couple of years later, he told me not to learn the harmonium. And I said, why not? Previously you told me to learn it. So Gurudev said, because you'll get proud and then you'll lose all your bhakti. Another little experience. 6 years ago, when we were in Badger, Srila Gurudev told me to stand up to speak to the audience there, to give many evidences from Srila Prabhupada about the proof that we didn't fall from Goloka Vrindavan, that we came from the Kutesta region. And then he ordered me, when I was still standing in front of the devotees, I want you to compile my words and Prabhupada's words and make a book for ISKCON devotees and all, proving that we didn't fall down from Goloka Vrindavan. So then, in many of his classes, especially when he was speaking on the appearance or disappearance day or sannyas day of our Srila Prabhupada, he said, oh, and Shamarani has compiled a book of all the evidences. But the book really wasn't there yet. So then, last January, when we were in Durban, South Africa, I told Gurudev, I just have one more question for this Jiva Tattva book, and then we'll be ready to print. So Gurudev said, you mean you haven't printed yet? I said, no, we just have one more question. So he said, oh my God. He was so upset. Then one significant, because I attended, I'd say 99% of the classes that he had given over a 10-year period about that subject, of what's the big deal if we think that the jiva fell from Goloka Vrindavan, or that we don't think that the jiva fell from Goloka Vrindavan. What's the big deal? In terms of just go there and then you know. So Gurudev was very clear why he's making such a big issue about it. He explained that if we think even subconsciously that we originally fell from Goloka Vrindavan, then we will think that there is Maya in Goloka Vrindavan. And if we subconsciously think there's even a little bit of Maya there, then we won't be enthusiastic to go there. And unconsciously, we will think that If I engage for thousands of births in sudden bhakti to go to Goloka Vrindavan, and then there is some maya there, then I can fall down again, then what's the use of going? I might as well stay here. And then even if I'm going through the motion, really there's some lack of need or enthusiasm to get there. That's why Gurudev was so much stressing the importance of getting that book out. Hare Krishna, Dhanavarana Tiruva. Over and over again, in many different cities, in many different years of his Western world touring, when he was speaking about our Srila Prabhupada, he would say that one of the reasons that our Prabhupada is known as Gauravani Pacharni, because he was preaching the message of Gaur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Arajya Bhagavan Vrajaya Chaitanya Tadjama Vrindavana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my only worshipable deity is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And Vrindavan, his abode, is equally worshipable to me. So if we're thinking that there's any maya in Vrindavan, that means that I don't have faith in Mahaprabhu's instruction. And I'll never understand Mahaprabhu's mission or his manobhishya. On a morning walk in Italy, this year, last year, 2010, Sajjan Maharaj asked Gurudev a question. Was it that, or 2009? He asked him a question that Rupa Goswami understood the manobhishya, or the innermost heart's desire, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how can we imbibe in our hearts your innermost desire? How can we know that? That is, it's one thing to know it intellectually, but how can we imbibe it? Or even how can we know it intellectually? So Gurudev, Srila Rupa Goswami knew the innermost heart's desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he established that in the world. So how can we, your disciples, know your innermost heart's desire? So Gurudev replied, this is the symptom of a real disciple. A real disciple automatically knows it, will automatically understand it. So if you want to be a real disciple, then you must understand my innermost heart's desire. Which is what? Become Radha Dasya and preach to the world according to their qualification, so that everyone can gradually come to that. And do bhajan in the way that I've delineated, so that you will come to that. I once asked him back, I think it was 1993, or the end of 92, speaking of bhajan for becoming Radha Dasi, I said, you've taught us, you've given us many prayers to Radharani, praying for direct service to her. Like in Velasquez Manjali, there are so many prayers by Srila Raghunathdas Goswami. May I fan you while you're taking the prasad remnant of Krishna, which was distributed to you by Mother Yasoda? Or may I clean your drains in the morning? May I put on the unguent to decorate your lotus face? So I said, you've given us so many prayers from our Acharya's books of prayers. But I find myself putting a P.S. You know P.S. postscript? Whenever I say the prayers, I always add these words. Please engage me in your service so that when I'm preaching, my preaching will have effect. Because now it doesn't have effect. So, is it okay to add those extra words? Or shall I just meditate on the prayers without thinking of that it's going to help my preaching, and automatically everything will be arranged? So Gurudev says, go on. When people see that you're weeping and falling on the ground, and when you don't know whether your dress, your clothing, is on or off, because you're so much absorbed in bhajan, at that time, your preaching will be millions of times more effective than it is now. Then he continued and he said, right now, you're just distributing letters like a postman. The postman doesn't know what's in the letter. And your preaching doesn't have really effect. But when you get absorbed in bhajan, then your preaching will have effect. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing kirtan in mass and preaching to the masses. But his activities in the Gambhira, where he's alone and like trying to get through the walls of the Gambhira room, and then he couldn't, sometimes he got through. He would just walk through the wall and end up by the bank of the shore of the ocean. And sometimes he couldn't get through. And so his face would get all bloody by trying to push himself through the wall. So reading about that has so much more effect than his general preaching. And then he said, if you have 2 tons of iron and 1 ounce of gold, understand? If you have 1,000 pounds of iron, and you have 1 ounce of gold, that little teeny bit of gold will be more valuable than all those pounds of iron. And if you have 1 ton or 1,000 pounds of gold, and you have 1 ounce of Chintamani. Chintamani is a spiritual gem that fulfills, gives any desire that you have. Then the Chintamani is more valuable. So when you're actually doing bhajan, any little bit of preaching you do will have millions of times more effect than all the preaching that you're doing now. Once, about 6 or 7 years ago, I asked Srila Gurudev, who should we go to? This was in Mathura on the roof. As any of you know who've been to his classes, when he would give classes in Mathura, after the class, everybody would kind of surround him, and it would take him like a half hour to get upstairs to his room on the roof. But finally, he'd make it up to the roof. And then there'd be devotees on both sides, and then he'd be given an aisle about that big to walk through to get to his room. So while he was walking through the aisle, I walked up to him and said, who should we go to after you leave? So Gurudev said, don't worry. I will arrange attached bathrooms for you all in Goloka Vrindavan. So I took that in two ways. Number one, don't worry, I'll make arrangements for who you can go to. Because I'd heard him say that before. Like in Badger, in one class he said, people say, oh, who should we go to after Narayan Maharaj leaves? So Gurudev said, don't worry, there's always somebody after the Acharya. There's always a real one after. So then I took it that Gurudev meant either that, don't worry, I'll make arrangements, or as long as you're attached to attached bathroom, you'll never go to Goloka Vrindavan. So I'll ask if there's any questions at this time. Or should I share another one? In 2010, he was in Italy on a morning walk. And my godbrother, Hari Namananda Prabhu, asked Gurudev, what is the significance in wearing devotional clothing? He was particularly meaning for grihastas, because brahmacharis generally wear devotional clothing, and so do sannyasis. But grihastas and ladies a lot just wear Western clothing. So he said, what's the significance? What's the meaning? So Gurudev said, oh, anybody can wear white, whether he's a devotee or not. And in India we see that practically everybody wears a dhoti. Doesn't mean they're a devotee. And similarly in India, so many people wear saris. So he dropped that and he went on to his own thought. And he said, but if someone is wearing saffron, it's a must. If he's a brahmachari or a sannyasi, he must wear his cloth. And why? Our acharyas have discovered this saffron cloth. Because if he does any nonsense, he'll be very easily caught because of the saffron cloth. Oh yes, look what you did. Understand? Okay. Then he said, actually, what our acharyas, like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they discovered this special stone called Gairua Rung. That means it's a saffron color, but it's a stone. And when it's mixed with soil, it makes a saffron color that has what call, Gurudev said, it has a mysterious effect that anybody who's wearing it, it makes that person be able to resist lust. Isn't that interesting? He said, nowadays though, there's no real Gairua Rung. They use artificial Gairua, just any, you know, saffron powder. But actually, there's an original Gaitaro rung that's coming down in the sip of succession. And then some of the devotees started asking about initiation. So they were asking what Ashram Maharaj particularly, and Sri Dwaiti Maharaj, was asking. Ashram Maharaj asked that, we heard that you said that if a Kanistha Adhikari, I didn't hear you say this, but I heard that you said previously that if the Kanistha Adhikari is under the direction of an Uttama Adhikari, it's okay that he gives diksha. This system is okay. But yesterday, I heard you say that if a Kanistha Adhikari is giving mantra to a disciple, the result is zero. In fact, Uday said, nowadays, the qualification for giving diksha is no qualification. You don't even have to be Kanistha. Anybody can do it. In fact, everybody who's not even Kanistha should do it. But the result is zero. So Ashram Maharaj said, so yesterday you said the result is zero if a Kanistha Adhikari, Andaraye, Takadiki Pasha, Aye. Really? What was I just saying?
Result is zero if Kanishka gives. If Kanishka gives.
Yeah. So then Gurudev, oh yeah, and I heard that you said that the Kanistha Adhikari can give the initiation and then he can bring his disciple to the Uttama Adhikari to give further instructions. So my question is, if there's an Uttama Adhikari, why not just bring that disciple to the Uttama Adhikari's initiation and the Kanistha Adhikari just gives whatever instructions he knows? So Gurudev said he should not initiate. He should bring any candidate for bhakti to the Uttama Adhikari for initiation. So then Ashram Maharaj said, or Sri Dwaiti Maharaj said, but what if there is no Uttama Adhikari? So then Gurudev said, Majjhima Majjham. So then they asked Gurudev, what is the level of bhakti that one must have to be considered a Majjhima Majjhima so that he can give initiation? So Gurudev said, he must be on the level of asakti. And then if bhav comes, that means he just said, then if bhav comes, he didn't say what. But that means that he's Majjhima Uttama. So, but then he said, Sri Dwaiti Maharaj asked that when the guru gives the mantra, and then he was quoting from Hari Bhakti Vilas, when the guru gives the mantra, he's putting in the seed of the form of Bhagavan. He quoted some Sanskrit verse. He's giving the seed of Bhagavan's form and the individual person's relationship with Bhagavan, as Guru gives at the time of Diksha. Like Gurudev would say, from now on, I've been to many of his diksha initiations. From now on, you should always think of Krishna as your only boyfriend. Don't have any other boyfriend, says the lady. Meaning, ultimately, that always think that he's the beloved of Radharani and she's my mistress. Anyway, so at the time of initiation, the guru gives the seed of the form of Bhagavan and the individual's relationship with Bhagavan. So Sri Dwaiti Maharaj asked, at what stage is one so that Majjhima Majjhima, is he able to know the this relationship that his disciple has with Bhagavan, with God, with Krishna? Does he know that? So Gurudev was pretending to be a conditioned soul like he sometimes does. And he said, if I know what someone's relationship is, if you know what someone's relationship is, then why wouldn't the Majjhima Majjhima know? But realization of that, in other words, he's indirectly saying that even if one is a Majjhima Majjhima and on the level of asakti, which means you're getting like reflection of the Lord's pastimes in your heart, but realization of yours and anyone else's relationship with Krishna doesn't come till Bhava Bhakti. And even in Bhava Bhakti, one's realization is like seeing something under glass. Like if you have an almirah and you see some cups and glasses and statues or books behind glass. He said things aren't revealed clearly until one is in frame. Another question that they asked on that day was that Sri Dwaiti Maharaj asked it. He said, somebody asked him the question, if the cows are in Vatsalya Rasa, if the cows have Vatsalya Prem, because we read in Venu Geet that, or Bhakti Rasayan, that the cows have a motherly affection for Krishna. And one reason that Krishna allowed, or inspired rather, Lord Brahma to steal the calf is because, not understanding?
Yeah, underneath the first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do I need to speak more slowly? A little more slowly? Okay. So the question is, if the cows in Goloka Vrindavan have Vatsalya Prem, then since Vatsalya Ras is higher than Sakya Ras and lower only than Madhurya Ras, then would the cows in Goloka Vrindavan be considered higher than the cowherd boys? So, Madhav Maharaj drew in, well, not higher than the three and arm sockets, because they're almost in Madhurya Ras. But in why it's mentioned of the cows in relation to Vatsalya is that when Krishna's yoga maya inspired Brahma to steal the coward boys, kidnap the coward boys, and the calf, it was partly because the cows were thinking, Mother Yasoda is so lucky that, that's how the other elderly gopis were thinking. The cows were thinking, if Krishna were my son, then I would give him my milk. I would be able to feed him. So they always loved Krishna more than their own cat. But when Krishna became or expanded to become their millions of calves, then they loved their calves as much as they loved Krishna. So therefore the devotee is asking, if the cows have Vatsalya Prem, aren't they higher than a coward boy? And as I said, Madhava Maharaj answered, but not higher than the PNR socket, like Subal or Udva. So what Gurudev said, and this is why it's so important to really understand what he means, because his words, in his lack of English speaking, is not always clearly what he means. So if I wasn't going to edit this statement of Gurudev, his exact words were, okay, you got the question right, his exact words were, it may be, if they have Vatsalya. And then he paused a bit and he said, it should be. So on a cursory reading, you know, just a superficial reading, if those were the words that we would send out on the Harikatha mailing list, wouldn't you think that he'd mean, it may be, if they're in Vatsalya, then it should be that they'd be higher than the coward boy. Wouldn't you think that? But then, when he says the next sentence, that, but they cannot express themselves. They can only think. If Krishna was my son, in other words, Krishna's not their son, then I would give him my milk. So combining that together, and that we never hear of cows having Vatsalya Ras, we only hear of the elderly gopis. Although the cows and the nobody has pure Dasya Ras, and there's no pure Shanta Ras in Goloka Vrindavan. That is, the trees are never considered to be gopis, right? But yet, when Krishna touches the tree, out of shyness, like the gopis, all of a sudden they bloom many, many flowers all over them. But it doesn't mean that they're equal to the gopis. It just means there's no pure Shanta or Dasya Ras in Goloka Vrindavan, and they have some kind of a semblance of Madhurya Ba. Similarly, the cows, because they take Krishna into their heart when he's playing his flute in the forest, and they embrace him in their heart, and they think, if Krishna were my son, then I would give him my milk. So then we'll look at the sentence in another way. Then Gurudev would be saying, it may be, if they have Vatsalya. But first, they should have Vatsalya, and then we can say they're higher than the coward boy. So sometimes Gurudev just gives a couple of words, and it's up to our understanding of everything else he says from all of his books to get what he's saying, or to inquire from somebody who's read a lot of his books. So now I'll ask if there's any questions.
I got confused on the last.
Got confused.
Do they have Vatsalya or not?
No, they don't have pure Vatsalya.
But they have some tint.
They have some something, some semblance.
Vatsalya.
I don't know if Gurudev calls it any rust. Like in Vaikuntha, they would be called Shantaras on the trees. But there's no pure Shanta in Goloka Vrindavan because they're all in rapture. But I've never heard him say any particular ras that they're in. But they have a semblance of the other rasas. If you find out something from some book, let me know. What? For what? For pure Vatsalya. No, not at all. In fact, Srila Gurudev has said on many occasions that the trees in Goloka Vrindavan have millions of times more bhakti than the humans outside of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. And that's why Brahma desired to be any grass inside or outside of Vrindavan so that any Vrijabhati could, he wanted to be a stone, that if any Vrijabhati needed to, even a sweeping of bread, when his feet would get dirty from sweeping and he'd wipe his foot on a stone, I want to be that stone. And Uddha prayed to become grass in Vrindavan. The grass in Vrindavan has more rapture than a human in outside of Vrindavan. So the rush is there. The rush and the rush meaning the ecstatic mellow taste of a relationship. The bhakti rush is there. The bumblebee. When Uddha went to Vrindavan on Krishna's request, he saw that the bumblebees were rolling on the ground, weeping. They couldn't buzz. Yes.
Shimon, is it correct to say that bugs, like I, could have anything from a bumblebee to a blade of grass to a tree take my spiritual form in the Goloka Vrindavan?
Is it correct to think that you think that you may do that?
Think that the possibility of our spiritual form could be something from a cow to a bumblebee to a giraffe? Or
well, you just gave a big gamut there.
Yeah, anything in Vrindavan.
Oh, I see what you mean. Let me begin that answer by sharing an experience that I had with Gurudev in 1993, which was that Gurudev was always explaining that the qualification for entering into Goloka Vrindavan and to have the relationship particularly of Manjari Bhav, which he particularly given, and which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly came to give, is greed. Not considering that I'm not qualified. So I asked him, how can I, who am so fallen, expect that even if I do bhajan, following the footsteps of our acharyas and singing their prayers for Manjari Bhav, how can I ever expect to attain that when even Brahma and Lakshmi Devi can never attain that? Even Lakshmi Devi, she's been doing austerity for thousands of years and to enter into the Rasa dance, and still she hasn't been able to. So how can I accept it? And I'm so fallen. So Gurudev said, this question shows that you have no greed. Because let's take a poor man who has no teeth, who's ugly, lame, black, and he's seeing Princess Diana, riding along on her beautiful bubble car. And as soon as he sees her in possession, he goes like that, and he thinks, I want to marry her. Is there any qualification for that dream? Shri Radha Gopinatha ki jai. Shri Satyananda and Gaur Hari ki jai. Shri Giri Raj Govardhana ki jai. Is there any qualification necessary for that desire? So, and he said, just like a dog is outside a sweet shop. And he would go inside a sweet shop, except that the owner of the sweet shop has a stick waiting for him to just try to walk in. So he stays outside, but every time somebody comes out of the sweet shop and eats their sweet, and then drops their wrapper, he immediately jumps on the wrapper to see if there's any juice to lick. And at the same time he's watching that no other dog should come and take it from him. He said that's greed, and that's the only qualification for doing bhajan for Radha Dasya. And when my godbrother, or so-called, used to see Gurudev back in the early 90s, one of them asked him, Satrup Maharaj asked him, I think that by your mercy, I now have a little greed for this Manjari Bhav. But there's one problem, is I'm afraid, I'm worried that it might be Sahajiyism. What is the difference between this and Sahajiyism? So first Gurudev said, I have only told them to pray. He said, what is the qualification for that? To pray, oh, Radharani, I want to serve you. When will you count me at the bottom of your list of your dasis? And then he was reciting some more prayers by Srila Rupa Goswami. I've only told him to pray, not to imitate. But then Gurudev told him, but I think you have no greed. So Sadhumar said, why? So Gurudev said, because when there's greed, there's no jukti or no logic. That, well, logic means that I need to be convinced by Shastra that it's a good thing. If I love any lady, or if a lady loves any man, does she need to be convinced to love him? It's automatic. And then she'll want to meet him. He said, if you have greed, you'll automatically keep this thing very secret. He said sacred, but a lot of times when he says sacred, he means secret. Sometimes he means sacred, like when he says, this is a very sacred day, when it's somebody's appearance day. But sometimes he means secret. Because one time, I was asking a question about Raghunuga Bhakti, back in the early 90s, and I didn't see who was behind me. I just saw there's just a couple of us who usually see him and ask these questions. I didn't realize there was a big new crowd of new people behind me. So Gurudev didn't exactly answer the question. And then he said, this is a very sacred thing, but you cannot keep anything sacred. So Satru asked her why. So Gurudev said, because you would keep this very secret, and you would always want to meet with those who are absorbed in this. But because you're thinking, well, maybe it's not a good thing, well, is it a good thing? Well, is it authorized? Well, is it in the scriptures? Well, how do I know it's not Sahajiya? This proves that you have no greed. So regarding your question, whenever Gurudev gives Diksha initiation, he's giving the Gopal mantra and the Kam Gayatri mantra. So at that time, he always says, now, well, I don't want to say exactly what he says, because not everybody has Diksha mantras here from him, but, you know, it'll say that picture Radha and Krishna sitting on a throne by the Jamuna River, and the waves are going, and think of Krishna as your beloved now. He probably said that to you at the time of your Diksha. So that means, when you get those two mantras, it generally means that that is your particular relationship, the relationship that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came specifically to give. And he gave the others just as a incidentally. So now I think the time is up. So, that was some glorification of Srila Gurudev via remembrances of exchanges with him. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Sachinandan Gaur Hari ki jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Shri Jamuna Devi ki jai, Shri Amritala ki jai, who's so lucky to be surrounded by so many associates. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Shri Sundar Arati ki jai, Gaur Prema ki jai.